Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to TACN, the Apostolic Company Empowerment Network. We're glad you're here. Be prepared to learn and grow as we discuss what God has in store today. Your host is none other than Dr. Sylvester Paul Brinson III, and your co-host is Apostle George Dixon Jr. Now let's go in where we're live on TACN, the Apostolic Company Empowerment Network. Hey, everybody. Good to be back again on TACN, the gathering of sons and daughters. We're happy to be here today with our spiritual father, Dr. Sylvester Paul Brinson III, a man of wisdom, a man of knowledge, and a man of understanding. And it is our, I can't even begin to form the word. It is our privilege to be in the midst of such a great giant. And I'm going to call on our great Apostolic Father and see, are you there right now, sir? Wait a minute. Give me a moment here. There we go. Are you there, Apostle Brinson? How are you today, sir?
I am here. It's just cold and snowy, and the grass is still green, and the leaves ain't even really turned brown and yellow yet, and snow is hanging off the leaves.
Well, Daddy, I love
this
you.
This is
not coming to visit right now.
I just need y'all to be touched with the spirit of my infirmity. It's cold and wet and snowing and all that kind of stuff, and raining mixed with snow in the month of October, and the kind of weather we get now, we don't get to the last part of November, early December. But that's all right. I'm inside where it's warm and everything, and I'm in here, and I told Bae why she tempting me. She know I'm on the show for an hour, and she in there deep frying chicken wings.
Okay.
So, I'm all right. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I came in here and closed the door, but the spell is coming up under the door. But that's all right.
Well,
you got to do
like we did in the military. Put your towel at the door, sir.
Yeah, like they say, like the third world says, shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep out the devil. I shut the door, can't keep out the smell. It's still coming through the cracks. But I'm doing fine, man of God. I'm doing real good, How are you, and how is everybody on the great line? Amen. I really
enjoy your interview.
Your introduction was great.
Thank you, sir. I get corrected, but I get it right. So
that's all right.
But
it's right.
I'm extremely happy.
I say it was right and tight.
Thank you, sir.
Right and tight.
Well, I'm extremely happy because I got a son and a daughter on their way to the Carolina. They're in the Carolina. They're in South Carolina right now. And they should be darkening my door in about an hour. So,
all right.
As a matter of fact, sir?
Yes?
Well, I was going to say they can go ahead and announce themselves because they're on the line tonight.
Hey, grace and peace. How y'all doing, it's Bishop Hunt, and also my wife.
Good evening.
God bless you, Bishop. Bishop Hunt, you say?
Yes, sir. This is Pete.
Okay,
yes, sir. Birmingham, Alabama.
From Birmingham,
yes, sir,
Alabama.
Yes, sir.
And lady who is on the line with you?
Lady Leonita Hunt.
Okay, all right. Pray the Lord. Lady Hunt is on the line.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They're fighting
through her. Yes, sir. I apologize. I was chewing a chicken finger.
She got a chicken anointing. The chicken anointing. Now, my wife is in there frying wings, and she eating the fingers. You know what?
Well,
So tonight is the night of the chicken. Amen. Pray the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's well, all right.
Well, I don't have to go through roll call because that's all that's up here for the right now. And I don't know what Dad has in store for us. But so, again, this is TACN, where we're presenting the gathering. And I hopefully I get that right because this is like our third show now, and it's beginning to wear on me. But I still think I need to work out a few kinks. But I do understand from Joel 2 and 28, that's what we're basing this show off of. So, therefore, we're looking for the sons and daughters and the sons and daughters of the sons and daughters to meet up with our Apostolic Father as we begin to talk about where we are, what we're doing, and receiving divine instruction. So back to you, Dr. Brinson. The mic is yours. Well, wait. We do have a few more callers just jump on. If you would please state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Edward Cockrum, calling from Kingston, North Carolina.
God bless you, Elder.
Amen.
Pastor Small.
Radcliffe.
God bless you, Pastor Small.
The sky is on tonight.
Amen. Amen. Well, there you have it. That's what we have for the right now. We're again trying to announce it, let them come on and announce where they're from at the halfway mark, depending on the flow of the spirit. But Dr. Brinson, the show is all in your hands now, sir.
Well, I'm grateful, first of all, for all of those that have called in and those who are yet to call it in. I'm just excited by what God is doing in the land. And one of the things that I'm excited about because when you work in ministry and you do ministry, and those on the line know what I'm talking about. I'm sure Apostle Dr. Small, Bishop Small, Bishop Apostle Dr. Small, Pastor Small, understand that sometimes you have to remind yourself that the Bible said, be not weary in well-doing. And then there's a season that God has you in where he puts you in self-reflection. Begin to have you to really think through what he's been doing and where he's going. And then he takes the cap off and he lets you see and he speaks clearly and directly and says, this and this is what you need to do. And this you need to stop doing. Because where you got to go right now and where I'm taking you, you don't need to do this and this and that anymore. Because you need to do this and the other. Because where I'm taking you, you've got to carry and push others that's a part of your inner relationship in the same directions. Because I'm speaking as a voice to everybody that sings your same song. And if you don't have a song that everybody sings, then you got to teach the song out. People need to find their tribes and their songs. And so that's where God began to push me. You know, and that's why we changed from the round table to the gathering. And that was because God began to really challenge me in this season of my life. You know, we missed May 68. This season of our life, I need to begin to identify people of like sound. Israel was 12 tribes or 11 and a half, 12 and a half tribes. Ephraim and Manasseh was merged together under Joseph. But in order to have Israel as a nation, there had to be each tribe in identifying themselves and their uniquenesses, yet they still was tied into the DNA. And I think what God is really challenging us to do as we look at the church universal is to identify our purpose and destinies and callings, and then begin to identify those persons who have similar callings that sing the song we sing and also have a feeling of hearing what we hear, but yet at the same time, all of us find ourselves a part of a greater corporate of what God is doing, but we still all fruit. We still all flowers. And so God has done that in the universe. He has stars with the different types. He has trees with the different types, plants, different types. But they still make up the plant kingdom. They make up the plant family. So God takes the solitary in Psalms and put them in families. The question is, what uniqueness do you bring to the family? And then what are the varieties? So right now in the Chicago area, we're in the fall. So the main fruit, the fruit that's prominent in this area, Indiana and Michigan, is the apple. Now, when you really concentrate on apples, the apples, that's the apple family. But in the apple family, there's so many varieties of apples. And I was listening to a show talking about how many varieties. I said, I didn't know it was all them kind of apples. You know, I just want an apple. No, no, depending on what you're going to do. There's certain apples that's better for cooking. And you want apple cobbler. You want, well, there's certain apples you don't make put in for apple cobbler. There's certain apples that have a better taste for apple cider. There's certain, and I go to the apple orchard. There's different varieties of apples, and then certain apples are engrafted into other apples. But they still all apples. And then you got the oranges, and then you got the grapefruits, and then you got different. So the question is, in the body of Christ, how do we see ourselves? If you buy a bouquet of flowers, they're beautiful, beautiful. But most of those flowers grow in different climates, have to be certain ways. Some have can grow. Some grow better in the dark. Some grow directly in direct sunlight. Then there's better flowers that grow better in the shade. The same thing with grass. You got bluegrass, Kentucky grass, different types of grass depending upon what ground is in and what the shade in the water is. So it is in the body of Christ. But I'm seeing that we have another group of people call themselves ministers. They just run across everybody. They don't identify with nobody. They just nomads. They have the spirit of the bastard. They don't want to be no son, no daughter. They just know, hallelujah, that God done called them, and they doing what the Lord say, like the Lord going to say and send them some places to minister to some people that do what? They won't be in relationship with. How you going to be called to minister to people, but yet you're not relational? And how you going to want to produce sons, but you never learn what it means to be a son or a daughter? So God has been really kind of challenging me in those things, Brinson. You need to begin now to sing a song and find out how many people got your melody and how many got the harmony part, because you got to build the orchestra. The choir got to be a part. So what part do you play in the choir of the divine when it comes down to the ministry of the church, quote unquote, the church? And so that's when we begin to take a look at sons and daughters and inviting our sons and daughters and asking them to bring their sons and daughters, and then take a look at those who are sons and daughters but may not be in our tribe, but they still got, we all got the same DNA. We cousins, we're brothers, this is sisters. So you got the tribe of Benjamin is yet related with the tribe of Judah. But Judah got to be Judah, and Benjamin got to be Benjamin, so that both of them, in their uniquenesses, they stand together as two of the tribes out of Israel. So that was what I began to understand. As I said, when you go to Applebee's or whatever, they said, would you like to have some lemonade or some tea? We got peach strawberry tea. So if I order peach strawberry tea, and the only thing I taste is strawberry, I'm like, where are the peaches? Well, they trying to be, give them a chance, Branson. No, I ordered strawberry peach. And the only thing I can taste is strawberry. So could it be that sometime God has ordered a combination of certain ministries, the network, and until we come to the union of faith, and then one ministry is in there trying to network, and the other ministry don't know where they at. They haven't made sure proof of their own ministries. So how can you network with something that you have no worth of yourself? So we began to push in this area, especially Chicago region, as we try to move forward in all of our sons and daughters in our different regions and strengthen those areas and identify those areas and do better about it. I told my people, well, I'm in Chicago. That's the Midwest region. We the worst region. No, y'all not going to. No, we're going to have to redo some things. So God's beginning to bless to do some things. But one of the things that I saw and need that I challenge all of us is that we need now to really begin to challenge each other, one another, and people we come in contact with to be a son and a daughter, spiritual or apostolic, to a ministry somewhere. And as you be a son and daughter to men, a ministry or ministries, because Tessola helped me understand that the Bible said you have not many fathers, plural, then you have to become a father. You're a son, but then you become a father. And so when you become a father, then your sons have to, after a while, become a father. And so the legacy of the church through the generations continue, because as we look at God through the Old and New Testament, he's always generational active. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel. I'm going to bring your seed back into the land. So how do we then understand that? So you talked about earlier that we're dealing with the sons and daughters through the prophecy of the prophet Joel. I like to take it and move it to and say we're dealing with it through the prophet Joel, but the manifestation is here based upon the book of Acts. So Acts 2, he said, Peter's standing up and said, these folk ain't drunk. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So the manifestation of the prophetic of Joel is here. Been here since the church was first started. The foundation of the church was a manifestation of the prophecy of Joel. So technically, the church started off in the prophetic. Your sons and daughters shall be prophetic, prophesy. The nature of prophesy, visions and dreams is prophetic. Now people saying, well, Brunson, you know, I'm trying to get prophetic. Well, you're supposed to be already, I thought. Okay, so that's kind of what's in my heart, where I am and what we're trying to do. And I'm just going to drop that there to say the church is a prophetic institution, and we need to begin to really challenge people in the body of Christ to be connected. We're not so much divided as disconnected. We need to be connected to people, to groups, to find sons and daughters. And in the spirit of Elijah, I turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and children to the fathers. And so we must continue to grow and mature as the family of God, because he's coming back for a church that is intergenerational and active in all levels.
So, doctors, this is Apostle Smalls from Radcliffe. When I was listening to you talking about how God begins to call us back, or you know, back from ministry, one of the things that I began to think about was reevaluate, replenish, and reengage. And most of the time, the dilemma for some of us who are in ministry is, we want to stay engaged when God is calling us to disengage, so we can properly reevaluate the things that he is saying to us, for us. But sometimes in ministry, there's a healing sometimes that needs to take place, and a healing, or a renewing, and a reviving, And so sometimes the dilemma that for me that I found out was sometimes I didn't want to disengage. And so because I didn't want to disengage and I kept engaging, I wasn't properly evaluating during that time that God was trying to pull me back from the fight. I want to show you some things. I need you to see some things, because, you know, you're swinging, but you're not hitting the target. And so that's what I thought about when I was listening to you, sir.
Now, that's deep, Doc. If you do not disengage in your kairos, you will continue to engage. And then what did you say after that? If when you continue to engage, when you have not obeyed the activity of the disengage, what happens to you? You said, what was that last part?
Dr. Brenson, state that again. He dropped off, and he just came back on.
Okay. I said, Dr. Smalls, you deep tonight. You deep tonight. I said, you said, if I picked it up, and I'm taking notes too, if you do not disengage in Kairos, Kairos comes, Kairos is God's moment into your moment, into your Kronos. Kronos is your time. So God's timing of what he wants to happen to you and with you says it's time for you to disengage. So when it's time for you to disengage and you don't, you continue to engage. That's what
yes,
you
sir.
Said. And I missed the other part that when you continue to engage, when you should have disengaged, what is it that happens to you?
You do not properly evaluate during that time period because you're still fighting. And then, because you're still fighting, sometimes you're not always hitting the target that God has, designed for you to hit. You know,
okay.
You start missing stuff. You know.
Okay, so if you do not disengage in Kairos, you will continue to engage, and thusly you will not be able to properly evaluate because your evaluation will be out of you not obeying the disengagement of the Kairos so you can re-engage. So when you're not re-engaging from a disengage to evaluate properly, you keep missing the target and purpose for your destiny. Is that what you're saying to me?
Yes, sir.
I got it.
And so because the re-evaluation is off, you don't even know how to properly be replenished. And therefore, and so because you can't be replenished, you know, because, you know, in ministry, there is a depletion that begins to take place. And if we do not understand, okay, we're going to be in war, but even though we're going to be in war, God calls us back for a time to replenish that which we had released. And so for me, I'm talking about me, because you know, war, and sometimes with that mentality, you don't realize that there's a Sabbath or a rest in the midst, so that you can actually be able to regain. Well, I like this, regain God's perspective in the fight that He's called you to.
Go on, keep talking, Doc.
So this is something that's where I was at, you know, a couple of years ago, and it was like, man, because you know, God had called, you know, he called me to a fight, and then he called me to disengage, and because I was used to the momentum of the fight, I did not want to release. And so now I'm no longer fighting against to advance the kingdom. Now I have this fight with this fight in between God's will and my will.
Okay.
Wow. Wow. Dr. Small, I'm hearing you, and I'm feeling all kind. I'm hearing my military background as well as my background training coming up through the ranks of the church. And I can appreciate you saying that we don't know how to disengage. And I thought about that as you were saying it, because there was times when we'll be trying to be a part of something, or like you said, you have that momentum. You're just going, and you go to a place of burnout. But I want to say, ask this question, and I don't know if it's a question, more of a statement. When you get to that place, and you know you're exhausted, but you continue to go on, I can hear that now being my will, not God's will. So, if you do come back away from it, where is that place of replenishment? If I can ask that, I mean, I have my idea about it, but I want to hear where you coming from with that. Was I playing?
No. This is really good because the dilemma is God has always designed for us to have a Sabbath, a time
hey.
With Him, a time of rest in Him, with Him, for Him. And the dilemma is, you know, it's almost like my mind is war. And so resting was like, for my thought, it was like it was a waste of time. And it wasn't a waste of time. It's necessary in order to properly prepare for all that God is looking for us to accomplish. So the key thing is Sabbath. And so now, so how do I take my Sabbath? Do I take my Sabbath every night after I begin to have my exchange during the day, or do I take my Sabbath once a week? But whenever I do, I know I need to. And so some people call it decompressing. You know, so after the day's fight, I'm going to take an hour or so and begin to just meditate on the Lord and let the Lord begin to minister to me about the day.
What I did,
maybe I should have said it like this. Maybe I should have did it like this. You know, just I'm pulling myself away from the fight so that this way I can be prepared to really hear.
Right.
And that was hard for me because what it took for me to get to that place was to lose. You know, like, okay, normally I'm accomplishing this, I'm getting this done. Okay, man, ooh, drop the ball. Like, how did I drop the ball? I didn't tell you to get on the court. You was not supposed to get on the court.
Wow.
Now go sit down so I can talk to you so you won't drop the ball anymore.
Wow.
So listen to the coach because you got to come off the floor and rest and put somebody else in.
Yes. Well, that's what I was
because
I was
the team, you'll start dragging the team or the team is dragging, and if the team is dragging, Dr. Curry, you will try to pull all the points, LeBron, and you're going to tie yourself off on this game and be all messed up for the next season. So we got to pull you off, even if we're losing, so you can replenish. I got you, Doc.
Well, see, Dr. Brenton, I was thinking also that, as you were saying, because this is what the Lord dealt with me about, because just because you have the ability to do a thing, but I didn't call you to that thing. So every assignment is not your assignment. Just because you can do it, but is it your assignment? So that's why when you said disengage, I was listening attentively because I wanted to see if you were going in the direction of what I've just experienced here recently, and that is just because I can do it doesn't mean it's my assignment. Get away from it. Back up off of it.
But a lot of times when you're reaching
– to do things, there's plenty of times that I was reaching to do things that I could have taken my break. Somebody else could have done it. But I had to do it because it wasn't getting done fast enough for me. So I had to go do it.
But you can be in your assignment and not walking in excellence because you have not learned how to take a break in the midst of your assignment. So after a while, you start evaluating that you are in the assignment and it's not your assignment when it is still your assignment. It's just that you just burn out in your assignment because you didn't disengage when you shared.
Yes, sir.
So in every assignment,
So in every assignment is a period of disengagement. And if you do not take that Kairos period of disengagement, you reevaluate wrong, and you could be in your assignment but jacked up because you keep reevaluating the assignment. Then you get mad at the assignment. The assignment saying, I didn't do nothing. The only thing I did was ask you to rest it. You would. Now you all messed up.
But then you begin to tell yourself, am I called to do this, Dr. Branson?
I know you tell yourself that because you have not disengaged in keeping with what Small said. So when you don't disengage, you don't hear the voice of God. You become illogic. You stop hearing the still small voice.
Amen.
I'm just taking notes. I'm quiet because I'm doing running me series right here. So now then, if that's true, Dr. Small, while I'm I got my pad right here writing, and it took me to Genesis 23, so 28. So if we stay with Dr. Small has the revelation for the night, y'all. So let's listen to him, Dr. Small. Look, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says, and God blessed them. Now look at the process. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. So replenish is in the middle of fruitful. Fruitful, multiply, then replenish. Then subdue and have dominion. So you can't subdue and have dominion until you replenish what you was fruitful and multiplying in. That's what I heard you say earlier.
Amen. Yes, sir. Okay.
So replenish is between fruitful multiply. If you don't replenish that seed, I wrote it down. Let me see what you say now. I put it right here. Listen, if your place of replenishment, if you don't take us, God calls us back to replenish that which we have released. That's what you said. God calls us back to replenish that which we have released. What we have released is our fruit and the fruitfulness of the fruit in multiples. Now, we don't replenish that. We don't have an activity, the activity of replenishing the fruit and the fruitfulness through multiplication. The act of replenishment is the quality of subduing and being in charge of your production and having dominion over your product business. Get good God of my, all right, I got you. Go on. I'm taking notes. Go ahead, Small. Keep talking.
One of the things that I look at my son for the whole month of October, he doesn't preach. And I was thinking, now, I think I might have done that later on, but he kind of learned some things real early. He's in his fourth year of pastoring. Like, when it comes to October, he doesn't minister. When it comes to taking breaks and going on vacations and what's going on, sometimes you don't realize the necessity in those things. And it's not just for you, but also for your family, because as you're in the fight, they're in the fight also. And sometimes I've missed that. You're in the fight. And sometimes it's necessary to pull away and begin to rebuild, but confirm the unity of the family. But sometimes ministry almost seems to replace the family unit or the importance of the family. And then when you have those times that you pull away, you pull, you and the family, just you and the family away, then it's, okay, we are reconfirming that we are family, we are one. We are here for each other. See, but if you if you don't take your time, you won't be able to see that the family needs time.
So that's
okay. I'll wear that conviction. I'll wear that conviction.
So
that was a mouthful, Dr. Small.
So that goes back then to Genesis 1. So everything, Dr. Small, what you, that's a series. That's a whole book for you. But what you saying is the principle. I'm going back to the principle of Genesis 1:28. What you just said was the principle of Genesis 1:28 and also the principle of Genesis 1:28 and 2:3. Let me write this down before I get Genesis 2:1, 2, and 3. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made." How dare we end works, and yet we have not finished the completion of it, but we said we ended it. God didn't end it until he had finished. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day." So God said, "I'm going to put a blessing on the seventh process." God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He blessed it, set it apart, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So if God created and made, and then he put in charge, he subdued and have many, then he said, "I have to rest." So remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. There should be a Sabbath unto the Lord. So you have to have a Sabbath in order to replenish. So when I go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and read it again with wisdom, it said, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply." That's reproduce yourself. If you, the quality, fruitful and multiply, comes out of your capacity to reproduce out of your essence, which is your family. Coming out of you is something. Then he says, "Now, and replenish the earth and subdue it." Okay, replenish the earth and subdue it. I took you out of the earth, and the earth is going to carry everything. So I need you to replenish it and subdue it. So learn how to rotate your crops. Don't plant the same thing in the same ground. Give the earth a rest. Most farmers on agriculture understand that. We plant the same old stuff and the same old stuff. One of the same. Anyway, let me leave that alone. I'm going off. Let me go back. And so he said, "And then have dominion over the fish of the sea, water, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps on it." So he gives me sea, air, and earth, that I have dominion over sea, air, and earth, but I can't have dominion over sea, air, and earth, and everything in sea, air, and earth, until I have dominion over myself out of earth. My family. Myself. Who I am. Fruitful and multiply. Put back. And then replenish the earth. So I can't replenish the earth unless the process of me replenishing the earth is out of rest, so that I can be able to be fruitful and multiply. Because if I don't till my ground, I'm going to eat up all the nutrients out of my ground because I'm running it too much. And so the farmers say, "We planted corn for 2 years. Next year we're going to plant soybeans, because the corn going to keep taking out the same nutrients, and we need time to replenish that which we have planted, but we still have to be multiplying other things." So I'm just dropping that in because that's where the revelation took me. I'm like, wow.
Thank you, Dr. Smalls. All right, some more. Come on, Dixon, some of y'all.
Well, I'm taking notes, and I like this because, again, you know, when you going the wrong way, you got to say ouch, or you got to say I got to make a U-turn or something, because my wife is always on me about not resting, because I'm always getting after it. So I thank God for Dr. Small tonight, whether he know it or not, being prophetic, which I think he know he is, but you're speaking volumes with me right now, because I do need a rest. I need a break. I'm always, as the world say, burning the candle at both ends, and then sometime in the middle trying to get things done. So I hear it prophetically. It's time to take a break, be replenished so I can hear God before I used to say this a long time ago, that the adversary of our soul, if he can't stop you, he'll speed you up, and you're still going to miss God. And I'm not even taking that to heart for myself. And so, I thank you, Dr. Small, for ringing the alarm.
And then, Dr. Dixon, if you look at it from this way, Dr. Small is saying, if you're going to burn the candle on both ends, and no, inasmuch as you burn the candles on both ends, what authority was given to you to burn the candles on both ends if you have not activated the principle of Sabbath and recalibration and evaluation? How can you burn something and you never evaluate what you burn it?
I guess it's called self-will, sir. Doing what I feel I need to do.
So,
but again,
what you need to
another principle that I use, and again, I'm reflecting on that. But did God tell me to do that?
So let's stop right there. The question that God asked Elijah, he asked Elijah one question, and we talked about it last week or the week before, which has two questions in the question. What doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here, and what you doing? Why are you here? Because I don't remember telling you to come here. The last direction I gave you, I told you to go to the brook. You heard me, you went. I told you to go to Zarephath. You heard me, you went. I told you to go show yourself to Ahab, and you went. Now, when did I tell you to come to the mountain? What you doing here?
Okay.
He said, I'm zealous. I got to do the ministry. He said, but who told you to be zealous? Well, I'm the only one. He said, no, you ain't the only one. I need you. But who said? I'm zealous for your sake. Oh, did I ask you to be zealous? The last commission I told you was to go show yourself to Ahab and bring the rain. I didn't tell you to run from Jezebel. So why are you running? I'm trying to do the work. I'm very zealous. Well, who told you to be zealous? That's what we all do if we're not careful.
Amen.
I'm talking to me, too. You know what I'm saying? I stopped being zealous.
Amen. Hey, man. Take that.
Because I didn't like being zealous. I didn't like being zealous coming to a building that I didn't have to pay for, and being zealous in that program and taking money out of my pocket to pay a musician with three people. I'm not being that's zealous. So I shut it down.
Amen.
I go to that building now, and I walk through, and I look. I say, this building holds 300 people. I got everything in it that I need. I say, God said, don't get zealous now. Did I tell you to do anything right now? Did you what you're trying to do? Every now and then I'd be like, get zealous. But Brinson, you know, God, you took me out of the pastor 10 years ago. Boy, I wonder, boy, I think it's about time for me to start church again. Boy, I hear myself singing, laying hands, and blah, prophesying like a little. God said, okay, go ahead. Did I say that? That's
Oh, yeah, that's right. What did I tell you to do? Oh, yeah, you told me, yeah, I got to be bothered with leaders and leaders. Yeah, but, boy, I can see myself in the pulpit and the Lord. God said, you all right, Bryson? Are you having a moment?
Dr. Paul, you started this.
Dr. Wilson to the apostles, this is Elder Cobb here.
Amen. Go ahead, man of God.
And I had my I had it on mute. I had to kind of like the back up a little bit, but you know how you was y'all was talking and engaging and disengaging, and you know how I'm stuttering a little bit, but I'm trying to get it out the best I can. But you know, sometimes if you disengage and you engage, and as you say, the spot that you feel like that you might have had nothing to say. But you know how sometimes when the Bible said you, when you lose is to gain. You know, sometimes if you understand what I'm saying, in order to, if this might not be what you're supposed to be doing then, and you do it, and you might feel like you have lost when you have done what you shouldn't been doing, and that, you know, and you feel like then you're gaining. Sometimes they say just to lose is to gain, and they're gaining to lose. If I'm saying, if you understand what I'm saying,
Dr. Small said sometimes I had to lose in order to gain. So are we clear on that?
Okay. And so, you know, okay. Now I was just I had my mute on at the time I was trying to say something. I didn't realize I had it on.
Oh, okay. And so you was doing all that talking, trying to jump in, and thought we was,
yes, sir,
and thought we was ignoring you, and you was on mute. Okay.
Like last time I said I was just that baby, you know, I'm just, and I just enjoy it. Sometimes you just, I just be so ready for it. It's a blessing for me. It seemed like some nights I was up here just listening. I was so sleepy, and I just wanted to just put the phone down, but it just, the spirit won't let me. It's 8 o'clock. At that time I have to come and listen. You know, it's a blessing for me. You know, it's some things I haven't heard before. You know, sometimes you feel like that you think in one place, but you're not. You know, it's so much to learn, it's so much to gain, and it's just so much that you want. You know, it's a continual growth. And you had said something the other week. I think we was talking about the trees and the fertilizer around the trees. And I used to think that I have learned that I have been planted. You know how to say be planted by the water, but you can be by the water. Thank God for the. I learned that I was planted, but the fertilizer is getting better. I mean, you know, I can see myself just growing in the Lord, and it's getting more better and understanding. But it's like lose is the game sometimes. And I used to be so careful because I didn't want to listen because I didn't want to get hurt at the time. I didn't want to get something that I didn't want to be hurt because it felt like you're talking about the disengage, engage. It felt like I didn't want to get nothing that will damage something that I had got, and it was kind of hard to open up to the truth sometimes. And
but you know what, man of God? Guess what? Jesus says that. He said that I am the vine and ye are the branches, that you are the bear fruit. But then he said that he cuts on you, that you bring forth more fruit. He prunes you. So you're going to lose an arm, or you're going to lose one of them parts of the tree that look good, but it ain't bearing the fruit. So if you look at a tree or whatever, and get the leaf, these leaves are the kind of withers. So I'm going to cut this right off this plant. The plant say, you cut the hard part. No, because, you know, that side ain't nothing happening. So we're going to cut this part. Every branch in me that bear not fruit, I purge, that it may bring forth more fruit. And if you, every branch that beareth fruit. So if you bear fruit and you catch it, you're going to lose some of the process of what you thought so that you can do more.
Yeah.
So that's the principle that you were saying. I'm just trying to give you something. So when you get off the
off the phone. You can go read it. That you get cut. God, I'm doing fruit. Why you cut on me? Excuse me. Why you cut me? Why you cut on me? Well, there's a flag out there. So sometime to lose, if you're playing football, sometime in rushing and stuff, you get a flag thrown out because there was a violation somewhere and you lose 15 yards. But you don't cry because the quarterback might throw a touchdown the next go around. So you lose yards to gain yards. But the loss of yards was part of you getting better to remind yourself you can't be violating that.
Yes, sir.
Somebody call a flag on your plate. God let the Holy Ghost call a flag on your plate. You say, well, and you got a penalization of 15 yards, 10 yards back. Oh, man. I'm just trying to help you see the gang lose principle.
Thank you, Doc.
And then also in investments. You know, sometimes the stock market go up and down and people take a loss in order to gain, but they stay in. Don't pull out now because you took a loss. If you're going to do an investment and you can't lose, you will never win. So those people who play the stock market, sometimes they take a loss, don't they? But if they stay in it, they have to know when to pull out in the loss and when to stay in the loss in spite of the loss. The Dow Jones was down 4 points today. It ended next week in 10 points up. So even though I lost a day or two ago, I gained back extra points. And I'm still trying to understand how that whole concept with investors. So God invests in us. He said, if you fall, if you're righteous and fall, get up. Forgive. Each other, 7 times 70. Keep going. Jesus took a rest. You notice he was always going over. Come on, let's go. We're going to go on the other side. He got up in the morning. He went up in the mountains. Before he made a major decision, he rested. He called his disciples. He went up in the mountains and stayed, prayed and fasted and stayed. Then he came down and called his disciples. And out of them, he identified 12. So when Dr. Dixon was on just a minute ago saying that Moses was his mentor, and Jethro told him, "You weary the people. Why do you have to be doing everything? He said, not only you weary, but you weary the people. So Jethro, Apostle Smalls, told Moses, Dr. Dixon, that you need to, in fact, God spoke to him and said, go find you 70 elders, and I'm going to take some of that stuff off you and put it on them. They're going to prophesy. And then those who don't show up, elder and me there, I'm going to get them. And if you identify them, I'll get them whether they show up or not. They'll be prophesying in the tent.
Thank you, Jesus.
So sometime when we burn the candle from both ends and the middle, the people that we are related to, they just so tired of us. We just weary them. They all frustrated. And then they start hating what we do. And then we wonder why they don't support us, because they hate what we do.
Amen.
Because what we do don't get them no time. So you creating an enemy.
Amen.
Because I used to go through that. You know, we preachers be like, you know, the other wife is the church. The wife said, well, you go with the other wife, okay, for the whole week. You don't get none. Just stay with that other wife, okay? And when you come over here try to hug me, go hug your people. Go to the come here alone.
Watch it, doctor.
I said me now. I put myself in there now.
Well, ain't nothing new, doc.
Okay, I just
And prophet is listening to you, not prophetess, but
I know Lady T, because I ain't saying nothing. Lady T, the Bible says if you hold your peace, he'll let us fight your battle. No, the Lord will fight your battle.
Right.
But he uses people. But he uses other people. it's strange that Lady T and Lady Hunt is quiet. Ain't that strange? They kind of quiet. I wonder if Lady Hunt's still chewing on them chicken fingers, you know. She quiet.
No, sir, I am done with my chicken fingers. But this has been a great discussion. I'm actually driving, so that's why I'm listening more tonight than I've been vocal. But this has been a very, very great discussion. I look forward to the repeat with Dad when we get there. I know we're going to be discussing some more things after the roundtable. But thank you so much for being enlightened.
Well, Dr. Brunson, I know we got a few minutes left, but I want to ask a question. Early in the conversation, you were talking about those that were all over the place, don't want to commit to nothing. I wanted at the time to ask the question, well, you know, how do we supposed to really deal with that? Do we try to help them along the way? Because, I mean, they can be kind of vicious. But the question that came after that with me is if they have this bastard spirit, and that spirit breed, are we supposed to put a stop to that?
Well, you know,
so
this
yet,
is what
I guess for better words, do we need to teach them a better, excellent, or more excellent way, or what's the take on that? Because I don't know about anybody else.
Well, I'll go back to the song. If you sing your song long enough without distraction, people will start humming it. You notice that? You notice
yes,
when you, if there's a song that comes on all the time, and sometimes when you ain't thinking, you find yourself humming it. You find yourself. So the bastards has to have the capacity to hum the song. But if you stop humming it, they forget it. So if you encounter the spirit of the bastard, the best thing. The spirit of the bastard is stay consistent.
Wow. Okay.
When you waver, you give the bastard authority. If you keep singing the same old song, keep on saying the song. You say the same old way, ask God to give you how to say what you said 59 different ways, you're still saying the same old thing. That's how I used to, I'm a part of Reverend Jackson. The media would try to trip him up. No, he keeps repeating the same stuff. And they come at him again, he keep repeating the same stuff. I used to say, why he keep? Then I learned, Brunson, when we do a press conference, they're going to ask you 50 million questions and try to take you off your square. Just keep repeating what you said. I learned that from Reverend Jackson. Keep repeating what you said. Then don't try to say it too many other different ways because they'll catch you and throw you on. Keep repeating. Do not let people manipulate the narrative. Whatever your narrative is, continue.
Mm-hmm.
The Satan will try to pervert your narrative. Change. Did God say? Did he say? Yeah, he said it. Well, but he know. But he said it. But he know if you eat out your. But he said it. But you gonna be like him. Well, I'll wait till he decide that. He said it. Eve would have never. We would have never been in this position if Eve had kept on singing the song, and she was adding her little side. He said, "Don't eat it," and he said, "Don't touch it." But I said, "Don't touch it." I put "Don't touch it" on his "Don't eat it." Now, how you gonna put "Don't touch it" on his "Don't eat it" and then end up eating it? Cause you just stay focused.
Amen.
You listen to the rap and got beguiled.
Can I share something?
Come on, Dr. Small.
One of the things when you're dealing with, for me, when I was dealing with the
the bastard spirit, that is to know whether or not that individual is your assignment or a distraction.
Oh,
okay.
So if God says he's your assignment, then what Apostle Brinson said is that's how it has to be done. But if he's a distraction, you don't have time for that.
You don't have time to sing that song.
Right. He's sent there to keep you from actually accomplishing what God has called you to accomplish. Almost like in Nehemiah, Sanballat and Tobiah. You know, so just be mindful, because you know there seems to be a lot of folk out there who just, you know, have the bastard spirit, a vagabond spirit. They just go wherever, do whatever, and you think you're helping, and you're not really helping, because the mindset for some of them is not to help, and so unbeknownst to them, they don't realize that they are tools that the enemy is using to distract leadership.
Wow, that's good, and I receive all that. Amen. Anybody else have anything to say out there? Any comments and express here?
One of the things also, when the spirit of the bastard is discovered, when you find the person that is operating in the spirit of the bastard or the spirit of the vagabond, and you call them out, you notice they get quiet, and creatively you don't hear from them as much, because they're trying to hide, because they realize they have been discovered, and they don't want to leave all the way, because they want to keep them. They want to still be a part, and you have to begin to take notice that and see what's going on, because if you're not careful, the little leaven will start leavening in your lump and causing discord in your stuff. And sometimes you have to put them out of there, because they'll get quiet and go underground, and they start dropping with the other persons in the group. The plague, the poison.
And Dr. Brinson, I just want to say, this is Lady Hunt. I was trying to get in on the end and say that sometimes they're easily offended, too, from what I've noticed. Every little thing upsets them, and then if you upset them and they get offended, it's like the whole shift starts with their attitude, you know, the commitment, consistency, and then, like you said, the underground, underhanded things where they try to contaminate others against you. So that's what I've noticed, you know, when I've seen it.
Yep, that's in the psychological, that's called passive aggression. Passive aggression. They act like they're going to do, and they don't do. They always late. They always forgetting. And you always have to stay on them, when before they was all excited. Passive aggression. Passive aggression.
Yes. And sometimes they're also borderline narcissists, too. You know, everything's all about them.
Bipolar, borderline personality disorder, and narcissistic. Some of them, and not only some of your members, but some of the leaders, they have God ideation.
Yes.
Okay, Lady Hunt, I perceive that you are in mental health. I perceive that you know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I caught you.
Yes.
I perceive that you have been trained in the mental health. So we need to connect her up into our pastoral care and mental health care group.
Yes.
They're trying to throw a word up in there. Throwing up a word. Okay, I knew if I threw fast progressive in there to see if you, and then, oh, they narcissistic borderline. All right, DSM time.
Yes, sir. I did go to school for continuing education in counseling psychology with my master's, so that's where I'm getting it from. And, you know, there's just different signs, warning signs when they start to unfold. because it's more of a strategic thing in their mind, and they think that they're right, but actually everyone else around them can see them, you know, but they think it's kind of like, you know, if you hide behind a bush, but you can still be seen by others. So I've just seen it time and time again, not only in the body of Christ, but just with my students being a teacher as well.
Yep, just in, people in life.
Yes.
Humanity. Yes, see, now see, you sang your little melody out there, and I was able to jump in your melody and make some harmony. That's what I'm talking about. When you listen to people,
sir,
you can tell if they got that. Come on now, Bishop Hunt. I smell
yes,
y'all.
Sir.
Y'all in, y'all part of our family. Lady Hunt.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, wellness and wholeness, healthcare professionals, wellness and wholeness specialists, and mental wellness and wholeness. I'm excited.
Amen. Amen. Well, now that y'all have been tagged, now you got to wear it. Get on here to the Charlotte, North Carolina area so I can finish rubbing that in. Amen. We've only lost one. We gotta have to get off, I guess, but I want everybody to know that this has been a very, very, very good discussion. And I have to say so, Dr. Benson, you're making it work. You're making it manifest. The gathering is starting to evolve. We have max participation tonight, Dr. Benson, and that's a great thing. That's an awesome thing. But again, as usual, we are at the end of our month, and we're preparing already for next week. So I want everybody to tell somebody they missed a great show tonight, but they can catch it again as we rebroadcast on www.hcradio.com on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific, and on Monday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. AM Central and 6 AM okay, that's wrong. 6, yeah, 6 AM Pacific, where you will find that packed in, and we are marching to the tune of the gathering. And again, it's been a great show. But last remark, I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. B. Did I lose Dr. B?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God bless you all.
Amen. And there you have it from our Apostolic Father. Until next week, everybody be blessed. Remind you again to tell somebody next week, Thursday, that we come again at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Y'all forgive me. I'm trying to get stronger. Eastern Time. And we'll be back then. All right. God bless everybody.
How y'all doing out there today?
It's a praise party now.
We about to have us a praise party up in here.
It's a praise party now.
Amen. I throw my hands up for God. No cops screaming free. Sometimes I stand up. Other times I'm down on my knees. Cause God is worthy of the praise. He provides for my every need. So I don't deserve it. God's grace and his mercy follows me. And that's why I praise him like I do. It ain't that I'm crazy, but that's cool. If